John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
John and Scott and Professor Tom!
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John!
And I'm Scott!
And this is the Heavy Metal episode!
The Heavy Metal episode!
Episode 40, part 3, with John and Scott and Professor Tom!
From PiggySexRadio.com!
What say you, Professor Tom?
Heavy Metal episode, baby!
What say you?
This is the part of the episode that goes to 11.
Don't do limey accents like you're Punky. Punky is a
Punky
bunch
I
of limey.
Can't do it.
Limey septic wannabes.
Yeah, septic wannabes. That's funny.
I only wish they lived in America, where we have courage to fight terrorism.
Americans.
America. Like people in Europe. It's hard to talk like the chimp.
It is. Nuclear.
People in Europe. Nuclear.
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 Anywhere, we're back.
It's nuclear. We're going to nuke Europe.
All right, before Professor Tom gives us the kinky sex quiz, John, how did you get involved with Punky, Professor Tom?
I don't... I think I found a post on the forums, because I don't like music shows. They're the exception. And so I was... I think it was just Paulie B was actually funny on the forums when he posted,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very easily persuaded by that. I'm like, oh, he seems like a nice person. I'll check out their show. You know, it's very superficial, but I listened to it. It was awesome.
It's a great show, yeah.
I also like the fact that it sounded very. They do a proper radio show as well,
right?
And so they're recording in a radio studio, and so you don't have this.
Hi, welcome to Punky. My name's Earl.
Kind of typical podcast.
Oh, fuck, I like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did that last episode on my show. God.
Yeah, but the thing is, Paulie B is really articulate, even though he's got that.
Especially. But that's actually Tony, even.
Tony's like.
Especially.
I like women.
I like women.
I like girls.
I like women to stay away
you
from me.
You fucking like women. I got about that
guy black and Paulie's Haitian, apparently.
And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck he's saying. Sometimes I gotta slow it down so I can hear what Paulie B is saying.
I was talking with the lady from Griffin's Guide. Lynn, and
yeah!
she's Australian, right? She said the same problem when she first started listening to Septics American. Our accent was so thick to her, we talked so
Are
quickly.
You serious?
She said they talk so quickly,
that's
I couldn't understand you.
That's what my German friends say about me.
Well, the accent, you know, it's different to them. So, yeah, it was funny. She's like, now she's gotten used to it.
Ich liebe dicht.
Especially the American accent.
Yeah,
especially.
Well, that's a little slower.
Also, another thing we have in common because we got involved with
Punky, Scott's big cock.
Thank you. Through the forum,
that's what I heard.
I met Punky on the forum at Podcast Alley because they had a post out there that said, "Hey, mention us, we'll mention you."
The most pathetic post ever, I think.
Right? And I was like, "These guys have
excuse
to suck,
me, Governor. Could I have a cup of soup?"
But then we listened to him, and we were totally digging him.
Could I have some more? I'm a poor beggar lad.
The Punky. We love the Punky.
It's funny that one of the best podcasts was begging on Podcast Alley for like help. We're like, you don't need help, dude. You just need time as people discover you.
That's right.
They're going to take over the world, those two.
My favorite episode.
Smack Tards.
They're good.
10.
Vaggie. Fantastic.
Septic wannabes. I'm sorry, Scott. What were you saying?
Gaylords.
My favorite episode number 10 from Punky. I don't know if it's still available. They knocked a couple of episodes off because they did not have PodSafe music. We don't have PodSafe music, but we don't care.
Yes, we do.
Well, now we do, but we didn't in the...
I have some PodSafe.
Initial episodes.
I have some. He says, I have some PodSafe.
I have some PodSafe.
And then I play some Michael Jackson. What? It's kind of PodSafe.
Most of the shit we play is royalty-free.
But see, that's the problem. Most,
yeah. It's
not, most of the pornography is not kiddie porn. I don't see what the big deal is, sir. That was my Gary Glitter impersonation. Thank you. I love this track.
Ready to go? All right.
Hi.
From the beginning of time in the history of the world, you and I have always been at war. Freedom, fear, God and the devil, in a common voice, we are joined together.
Is this
the most brilliant fucking...
This guy's amazing. This is the saint of our time,
just said. How?
DRX is his name. DJ RX.
Are you serious?
That's what the song is. Will the real RX stand up?
You sent it to me, right?
Yeah, yeah. Stand
up. Holy shit.
Do you have that other thing I sent you from the guy on MySpace? The remixes of Ghostbusters and...
I'm not sure if I have it here. No, what's the one that I had where... is it the same thing, but with...
No,
this
guy did a mashup of... It's the theme to Ghostbusters with a Nine Inch Nails song as the lyrics.
Did you send it to me?
I sent it to you, yeah.
I got to check it out.
I sent all the music stuff to you.
Okay.
Not to ignore you, Scott. But
all right.
I figure he's the producer.
Yeah, I'm not a musician.
And then he also had Eminem,
really about music.
But to the Funk Soul Brother song.
I gotta check
it
out.
My Name Is by Eminem laid over it.
Funk Soul Brother, you gotta check it out. That's funny.
Check it out now. This song is not a rebel song.
This song is Sunday. Professor Tom sent me this one too.
I'm a big fan of mashups. Like, I like Danger Mouse.
Oh yeah.
You heard the black, the gray album?
I can't believe it. I have not.
Oh, it's awesome. It's incredible.
Really, I dig these two tunes that you sent me.
Yeah.
They're fucking fantastic.
Have you heard the remix of the last year's State of the Union address?
No.
I'll send you that.
Please do, because I will
pop this down just a little bit. Or maybe it's just in my headphones. So it's got George Bush, and he's going, every year we gather here through custom and through law to threaten the world. And they've mashed it together, so they've cut out. So it says, this year, every child in America will get 5 nuclear weapons.
Nuclear.
Yeah, and he says, our country is a country of corporate greed,
actually,
rape,
you said it wrong.
Torture.
It's nuclear.
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 In America, we say nuclear. Nuclear.
Nuclear.
I can't talk like the W. It's tough.
You
hear me? I said it correctly.
Like W.
Over in Europe, they say nuclear. Here in America, we say nuclear.
Have you ever heard of this one?
This message is for John. This is old Badger Man's bunghole.
Oh, Badger Man's bunghole.
It's got it on the stew, man.
It's a tale of tragedy. Badger Man's bunghole.
being old Badger Man's bunghole is really tough. I thought I'd just...
Very courageous. Badger Man's bunghole.
You gotta help me out, man. He's sleeping right now. And I used one of his hemorrhoids to stretch it out.
Is Badger Man's bunghole played by James Earl Jones?
I was able to evolve one of his hemorrhoids into an eyeball.
Like how he explains the procedure. In case you want to try it at home. If you'd like to force evolve your...
Actually,
hemorrhoid.
Bunghole has called me and left me another message.
He left you another one?
We have fresh bunghole?
I haven't had time
to bring it in.
Yeah, because I have to, you know, it's on my cell phone, so I have to transport it to...
You know, John, something
PC.
I've noticed, I think Badger Man's bunghole might be disguising his voice. I think that might be a voice
disguise.
It's
a good idea. It's a good idea.
He's in the witness protection program.
Yeah, right. He's in witness. He doesn't want to be known by Badger Man.
Well, with what Badger Man puts him through.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine the torture day in, day out, day in, day out? Poor bunghole.
The last phone call and message I got from him was that Badger Man had heard the anal podcast by Spike and Rachel.
It's a good podcast.
And he was really freaked out, and he was traumatized because he heard that Spike had talked about the stool left in the toilet by a friend of his that was the size of a Foster's can. And Badger Man was traumatized. Badger Man's bunghole was traumatized because Badger Man decided to shove a Foster's oil can up his ass. So,
you know, we should have some sort of benefit radio call-in pledge program, a pledge drive for Badger Man's bunghole, sort of a free Badger Man's bunghole radio drive.
Well, Badger Man had left me a message, and I haven't had a chance to convert it, but he'd said that he had so many stitches, you could call him Franken Bunghole.
Franken bunghole.
Yes, because he had a lot of sutures after the...
Sutures.
Yes.
Sutures in the
after
sphincter.
After the insertion of the oil can into his... himself.
You know, I think with all the other stuff Badger Man shoved in his bunghole, it could accommodate the Foster's can, apparently. Right. Apparently I was wrong about the frequency with which his bunghole was violated.
Right.
I apologize, and Badger Man.
The thing that's disturbing about it is that Badger Man seems to be somewhat gay, but the bunghole is not.
Oh, that's a shame.
He's upset about that.
Right. Bunghole's heterosexual. Badger Man is...
And we talked about this possibility before. Imagine if you were a twin, part of a Siamese twin pair, and one of you was gay and you shared the same ass. You were not, but the twin was, and he was having a date come over that night. So that's what we discussed before. And I think Badger Man's Bunghole is expressing that personality right there.
Right. He has his own personality.
It's a tragic story, really.
And right. No, it's really not tragic. It's exceptional because Badger Man's Bunghole has his own consciousness. And that's the fascinating part of it.
Because he's evolved hemorrhoids into an eye
right.
and a tentacle
you know what this
to
is?
Call on the cell phone.
This is almost Greek. It's almost like Pygmalion, the bunghole. It comes to life. It has this whole other world. It has a sensuality, a sexuality, a consciousness, and an eyeball.
Right.
And apparently a voice, and a voice disguiser. It has some sort of voice processor at its disposal.
No, I think that's his real voice.
You think he really talks like that?
If you listen to the phone call, he said he used to have a nice and
right.
voice.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But he's gotten so much shit shoved up his bunghole.
Since it's the Super Bowl weekend, today, as a matter of fact, the Super Bowl, I think at the time he was a tight end, now he's a wide
he's
receiver.
He's a wide receiver.
Right. So,
yes, sir. Hey-o.
All right, then. We'll use that.
Where's my rim shot?
To segue. Let's segue into the...
That's my beatbox rim shot.
Professor Tom. Well, that reminds me. Professor Tom. That's, yes. You know, that's what we call you.
We
professor
really
Tom.
Appreciate
Professor
Tom. Are
you professor really a
Tom?
Professor?
No.
Okay.
It's purely an honorary title.
Honorary title.
Actually, it was a nickname. Because a lot of things in the BDS, basically it was because I was better at using Google than anyone else in the club I attended. And so I ended up giving the sort of lectures on medical, because a lot of what you do in kink is not a concern psychologically or physiologically. You know what you like or don't like, but you need to know some basics about danger. Like, for example, blood play, which is rather rare.
Damn.
Well, but now
Scott
you need to know
really,
a little phlebotomy.
Scott was really worked up on the CBT.
CBT.
Because he's really hung up on the cock and ball torture.
Well, you know what? I've observed CBT, and my nuts hurt for a week after watching it. It's sympathy nut pain.
But
you know, now I think my bungle's a little sore from hearing the tale of woe that is Badger Man's.
Right.
I have sympathy pain in the bunghole.
Well, he's witnessed a lot of tea bagging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Gargling some nuts.
Teabagging is both you can do it for sexy or just for funny. That's the nice thing about being a guy.
Little nut gargle.
All right, then. So, Professor Tom, are you ready to give
oh,
us
yeah.
the kinky sex quiz?
Absolutely.
And we'll see of John and Scott who is the more astute. When it comes
and
to
those
kinky.
Of you listening, feel
here
free
we
to
go.
Play along at home.
Play along at home.
I should mention where I got this. I got this from DeviantDesires.com. It's the Deviant Desires Incredibly Strange Sex Kinky Quiz. So this is strange.
Let's do the intro music for this.
This is the Deviant Desires Incredibly Strange Sex Quiz intro music. So I should warn you that if you're listening, this is Incredibly Strange Sex Kinky Quiz by Deviant Desires standards. So this is going to be a little tough. Question one.
Here we go.
Question one. What do you think is the most common fetish? And I'll give you four here. Is it panties, leg or foot fetish, hair, or leather?
I'm going to chime in with D, leather.
I'm going to say
Professor
B,
Tom.
B, D, leg and
leather.
Foot.
Leg and foot is the correct answer.
Thank you!
According to Diane Hansen, publisher of Leg Show magazine, the foot leg is the most common fetish object. Leg Show alone, the magazine, has a circulation of 200,000 copies per issue.
What about stump?
Stump? Oh, the amputee?
The leg stump, yeah.
Amputee, that is a fetish, but not the most common fetish.
John wins that round. Bing!
Bing! Bing! Which fetish is also known as the Aristotelian perversion? Is it giantess worship? Menstrual fetish, pony play, or doll fetish?
I'm going to say, can I chime in first? Or, John, do you want to go first?
Go ahead, Scott.
I'll say B, menstrual fetish.
I would agree with Scott. B, the clown face.
Unfortunately, you're both incorrect. It is C, pony
play. Damn
it,
I was going to go with pony play.
Ancient Greek satirists claimed that the philosopher Aristotle delighted in giving his wife Phyllis piggyback rides. No points scored on that round. How are you doing at home? Excellent. John and Scott are competing for a trip to Badger Man's Bunghole. Badger Man's Bunghole. Property of Badger Man Properties. Number three.
That's pretty goddamn funny.
Why, thank you, sir. Which popular author writes pornography featuring pony play under a nom de plume, or fake name for the morons who are playing at home? Fans of the W know it is a fake name. Is that Dick Francis, James Herriot, Anne Rice, or Stephen King?
I'd say C is John's guess. So,
I'll say D, Stephen King.
So we have Anne Rice and Stephen King. Correct answer is John. Anne Rice.
Damn it.
Under the pseudonym.
That's 2-1.
Ruckledale. Vampire Anne Rice published a series of BDSM books known as the Sleeping Beauty Trilogy, which are quite good. The second book in the series, Beauty's Punishment.
Did she do vampires?
She did vampires. Now she's doing Jesus.
That's right.
From vampires to BDSM to Jesus, which is the same way Tammy Faye Baker got into her job.
See how fucking good I am, Scott?
Look out. Man.
John and Scott, question number 4. What is a popper in the fetish world? A popper. P-O-P-P-E-R. That's my overly dramatic quiz guy. Is it someone who suffers from premature ejaculation? A popper. Someone who gets off from balloon popping? A popper. Someone who role plays as a grandfather? Or popper. Someone who gets off on squeezing zits?
Oh, I thought that was tits.
That's zits with a Z.
I'll go with D. Someone who gets off on squeezing zits.
That's a popper.
I'll say A.
John? A, someone who suffers from premature ejaculation. You're both incorrect. It is B, someone who gets off from popping balloons.
God damn it!
Balloon fetishists, or lunars, are sharply divided on the issue of to pop or not to pop, and flame wars over the issue take up a significant amount of space on the balloon fetish chat rooms. That question brought to you by Kia, the new sports car of a new kinky millennium.
Still 2-1, John is up.
Number 5.
2-0.
2-0. I have John got question number 1 and 3. Here we go. Question number 5. In the children's film Willy Wonka, what fetish does the character Violet Beauregard act out? Does she act out age play, messy fun, vore, or body inflation?
D! John says D!
I will... What? Who gave the Who said ah?
That was John.
Ah.
Oh, okay. It was a taunting. Kind of his variation on what's ah.
I'll say B, messy fun.
B, John, once again.
Ding, ding,
D,
ding,
body
ding,
inflation. Violet Beauregard, upon eating the blueberry snack, blows up and becomes a giant blueberry.
Yeah,
John, wow.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
It's a shutout.
Now,
she is considered the patron saint of inflation.
Hold it.
Violet's
now,
a pushover.
Hold it. If I want...
You Chipotle-sucking motherfucker. You know I'm kicking your ass.
Yeah,
kiddiness.
Don't you wish
you owe me two
now.
Chipotles, a-hole. Anyway. All right. Now, forget... forget this. Let's say you're not here. Okay, Professor
Tom? Okay.
It's just John and I alone.
Okay.
And I want to get involved with John with body inflation.
Right.
What do we do?
Body inflation fans sometimes buy rubber fetish outfits that they inflate using air pumps to create the sensation of pressure and magical growth.
And then,
well,
we
I don't need
other?
To be magically grown.
Well, fetish is different because it doesn't have to be. While it is usually sensual, it does not have to be sexual in the sense of having intercourse.
All
this
right.
is a big problem Dominion has when people confuse dominatrix with prostitute. Her clients, it's purely a mental thing. Dominatrixes vary. Dominatrices vary. So some of them are essentially prostitutes, but she is not. She does not even work nude. For her, it's entirely you're coming to her
right.
for mental. And then you go fuck whoever you want when you leave. Go back to your wife, go to a bar. But she deals with solely mental, so it's humiliation, but it feeds that side of you,
does
and you get your jollies
on,
elsewhere.
Does she step on their nuts with
I don't know
stilettos.
The particulars of what she does.
We need to know this information.
But for her, it's much more an aesthetic mentally.
Right.
And so it'd be the same thing with these body inflationists. Now, here's a related question.
I've seen the nuts stepping on with the stilettos.
That's a common image in BDSM. Question number 6. How many balloon fetishists are current members of Balloon Buddies, an online group? Is it 1 to 500, 501 to 1,000, 1,000 to 2,000, or over 2,000?
Scott, D. Over 2,000. Scott, D.
Both of you say D. Both of you are correct.
Yeah.
Over
hey, I'm
2,
on the board.
Buster Bill, who founded the group as a 100-person snail mail correspondence list in 1976, now has over 2,500 people from all over the world who receive his emails. So John and Scott, I'm keeping score. John and Scott. First time Scott's on the board.
I'm on the board, baby.
Next question.
Yeah.
What is a macrogenophile? Question number 8. What is a macrogenophile?
No, we're on seven. We're
no, I skipped that one.
He skipped that.
Right. I'm skipping around all right. a little bit.
All
I'm
right.
sorry.
It's all right.
That was a stupid one.
What is a macrogenophile? Is it someone who gets off from pouring pasta on women? Someone who really loves women a lot? Someone who fantasizes about women growing to heights of 50 feet or over? Someone who fantasizes about vaginas inflating? A macrogenophile.
I would say D.
I would say C.
So John says it's vaginas inflating. Scott says it's someone growing to height. The question, the cue here is the Latin word macro.
Macro,
the
smaller.
Correct answer. Women growing to height of 50 feet or more.
God damn it.
This Scott's may sound like grade B sci-fi movie material, but thousands of men and women have recurrent sexual fantasies of being tiny people at the mercy of giants. In the vast majority of fantasies, the giant is malevolent or cruel. A variation of this theme is the fantasy of shrinking to a tiny size and being tortured by a normal-sized person, a la Incredible Shrinking Man. So for the first time, Scott gets one correct.
God
then John
damn it.
Got incorrect.
I thought macro meaning
you're thinking micro.
What's the score here?
Yeah,
4-2? Is it 4-2?
I believe it is 4-2. Let's see.
4-2, man.
1, 2, 3.
I'm right on your ass.
Macro economics.
I'm right on your ass.
You'd love to be right on my ass, you homo.
What is the most common macrophile scenario? Is it being stomped under the giant's feet, being used as a dildo, being eaten alive, or being crushed between giant breasts? So remember, macrophile's the giant one. Would you rather be used as a dildo, stomped on the giant's feet, eaten
I'd
alive?
I'd say D.
I'd say B.
So did you say D or B?
I said
D,
B, being used
John
as a dildo.
D.
Scott, B.
And John said crushed between
D.
breasts?
Yes.
Okay, both of you are incorrect. It's being stomped under the giant's feet.
Yeah!
According to Ed Lunt of EL Publications, although other variations exist, most macrophiles fantasies develop as an elaboration of the foot fetish. This may have to do with the fact that when we were tiny infants crawling around our parents' feet, they seemed like giants to us. Hello?
I don't know why I hit that button.
Okay. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to Kinky Sex Quiz.
Hello?
What is the name of the newsletter for people who get off?
Yeah, man, you get Scott in on this too, man. You guys got to help me out. I don't know what to do.
That message brought to you by Benjamin's Bunghole. Next question. What is the name of the newsletter for people who get off on showing... Let's start over.
Hold on, where are we?
I could read.
Number 10.
13. I've skipped 13.
Oh, 13.
I knew answer 10, though. I knew what 10 is. That's no fair.
Because you've had a cactus in your ass. So you know number 10.
Oh.
I cut some of the longer ones. You know,
I
like,
protest.
What's the three main substance preferences of messy fetishes? A big
shit, piss, and cum.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Wait,
the
I
three
know
main substance
that.
Preferences of messy fetishes. Johnny, you want to
food,
take a guess?
Food, piss, and mud.
Incorrect.
I know. Mud, chocolate, and shit.
Incorrect.
I know.
You've
mud,
now guessed
water,
three of
mud,
the four.
Water, and food.
So I'm going to count that as wrong. It was mud, water, and food.
I got it right.
Water appeals to wet look fans. Mud is the choice of mud larkers, and foodstuffs or paint appeal to sploshers. That's sploshers.
Sploshers
for
are
all your sploshing needs.
They're partesians, too, aren't they?
They are partesians, I hear. What is the name of the newsletter for people who get off on seeing people have pies thrown in their face? There is a newsletter for people who get off on seeing people have pies thrown in their face. Is it called Stooge Review? Slapstick Quarterly? Magnum PIE? Pisexual News?
I say Scott, D, Pisexual News.
I agree. I concur. D.
Incorrect. It is Magnum PIE.
God damn it.
Although many custard pie fans cite the Three Stooges as a childhood inspiration for their fetish, newsletter publisher Hurley Coward, a spoonerism of Stooge Curly Howard, originally picked the name for his publication. Hurley is now considered changing the name
point?
For fear of legal action from the producer of the 1970s Tom Selleck TV show.
What's your fucking point?
How crazy is that, Magnum PIE? According to Ducky Doolittle, which of the following have been removed from human rectums in emergency rooms? You may pick more than one. Pig's tails, small tool chest, Lee press-on nails, peanuts with shells, pair of eyeglasses, ice pick, or beer mugs.
Scott, F, ice pick, G, beer mugs.
Okay. G, beer mugs.
B. I Scott
C,
B. Small tool
C,
chest.
C. Lee press on nails. And A. Pig's tail.
Can we have one? All of the above?
You can.
I say all of the above.
You say all that. You say they found pig's tail, small tool chest, Lee press on nails, peanuts with shells, people, pair of eyeglasses, ice pick, and beer mugs.
Yes, that's what I say.
Wow. John?
I say beer mugs, Lee press on nails, and pig's tail.
Okay. Scott is correct with all of the above.
God damn it.
Dr. Ducky Doolittle, our favorite crackpot sexologist, researched numerous medical databases and journals for these lovely little factoids. Interestingly, she found no stories about gerbiling, i.e. people stuffing live gerbils up their anuses. Check out Dr. Ducky's awesome website and our perfect profile of Ducky's own clown fetish.
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere. That's at DeviantDesires.com. But what percentage of the American public would prefer a fat sexual partner? 1%, 5%, 10 to 15%, or 25%?
Scott. B, 5%,
Scott. 5%,
Scott.
I would say D.
25%, John. Both of you are incorrect. 10 to 15%.
Ah,
the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, or the NAAFA, conducted an informal phone survey and concluded that 10 to 15% of Americans would prefer a fat partner.
I like the heavier big ass. You know, you slap that thing, man,
and ride the wave in. Yes,
like
sir.
Like Jell-O.
What body part is the most popular among men and women who desire a fat male sexual partner? The belly, the butt, the male breast, or the penis?
I'll say A, belly.
D, penis.
Scott is correct.
Yeah!
Belly. Personal ads by gay male chubby chasers.
I think it's 4-4.
And anecdotes from straight female fat admirers are FFAs. Strongly stress the importance of gigantic Santa Claus-like beer bellies. Interestingly, many of the ads written by gay men also specify they prefer men with small penises. Some chasers and fat admirers take measurements of their lovers' bellies as a form of foreplay and make it often the idea that their lovers are growing even larger.
Even though I got a big belly, it's really thick, my cock.
Yeah, whatever. If you have to talk about it.
You know it.
All right.
You should talk, man.
Is it 4-4?
Specifics on the size of John's penis brought to you by Badger Man's Bunghole. That's Badger Man's Bunghole for all your penis needs.
4-4.
4-4. So we go into sudden death with our last two questions. 4-4 as we go to the next question. What is the most popular stuffed animal among plushophiles? You're both familiar with a plushophile?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. You can extrapolate from the language. Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Tigger from Winnie the Pooh? Miko the raccoon from Pocahontas? Or an old-fashioned teddy bear?
Scott is going to chime in with D, old-fashioned teddy bear.
John concurs with D.
John and Scott both agree and both are incorrect. It is Miko. Miko's inviting posture and especially soft plush make him the most desirable plush toy among plushophiles. Now, they're not being produced anymore. Plushies will spend surprising amounts of money to get them. Plushies also buy pairs for spares in case one gets worn out or too spoogey, covered in cum. That way they can start a fresh
one. Hold on, wait a minute. What's the difference between spongy and spoogey?
Spoogey, covered in cum. Spongy, slightly sponge-like. No, I can't.
Spoogey is very sticky. So you can catch it when it's been thrown to you.
The
catch
score, it. Still 4-4.
4-4.
Sudden death overtime. Final question. How are you doing at home, listeners? Who writes the most /pornography? /pornography, that's fan fiction depicting TV or movie characters in homosexual relationships. Is it gay men, straight women, gay women, or straight men? Who writes the most slash pornography?
Slash. What does slash mean?
That's fan fiction depicting the TV or movie characters in homosexual relationships.
I'm going to go with the obvious here, Professor Tom, and say A, gay men.
Gay men.
I'm going to say D, straight men.
Straight men. The answer, B, straight women. We have a tie. Although in recent years, gay men and women have contributed to this genre, it remains primarily a straight girl thing. In fact, the vast majority of slash fiction writers are middle-aged suburban females, many of whom are married and have children.
Fucking whoa, women.
Whoa.
So it turns out you're equally kinky, Scott.
Equally
John.
Kinky, John.
Your kinky IQ, 4-4.
Thank
Not
you.
Bad. Those are actually very difficult questions.
Actually, that's fan-fucking-tastic.
Well, you asked about 20 of them. We only got 4 right.
You know, you'll get email. We'll see how many people playing along at home were able to keep up. Those are tough. Macrophile? Fuck. Who knows that one?
Fuck face.
That deserves the
that's
fuck
you, right?
song.
Fuck face. That's you guys.
Yeah.
That's just John.
That's just John.
No, that's Scott saying all that shit, but I played guitar and bass.
That's very good.
And it's a drum loop.
Wait, a computer drum loop, or you recorded yourself?
It's a computer drum loop.
Sounds really good. Computer drums have gotten really nice.
Actually,
the music we use for our theme song, that ninth level tune, that's electric. You can kind of tell they're electric drums. But
here's another one of mine.
Now, is this live drums or is this computer?
Computer drums, me on guitar and bass.
Oh, I've heard this, yeah. I find it ironic that the guy who plays drums uses computer drums. I don't want to bother playing.
The wife had let me play the drums in the house. Anyways, I got some questions, or not questions, but something I read on when marathon sex sessions are a snooze. How can I get my lover to hurry it up? Is oral sex safe? Any advice for a 35-year-old virgin? Sexploration answers your queries. Actually, this is from MSNBC.com. The question is there a way to get a man to orgasm faster? My husband takes forever. Sometimes he doesn't climax at all because we both run out of energy. We're both nearing the big 4-0. And he is on medications I know contribute to the problem.
Ah, he's on an uptake inhibitor, serotonin. Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel bad when I have had several major orgasms and he hasn't had a one.
Yeah, that poor woman. I feel for her.
And the
fuck her.
And the answer is women reading this have their jaws open, saying, "Wait, not fast enough, several major orgasms, and wishing they had your problem."
That's you got to love a woman with low standards, don't you?
Yeah, I don't understand. What the fuck is the big deal?
You know, I had a friend who was on a serotonin uptake inhibitor for depression, and what it is, your body releases serotonin to cue your brain, releases it to cue your body to orgasm, and the uptake inhibitors just suck it right up. So it never reaches the correct channels.
Yeah, what's the one that releases the serotonin?
Oh, I have no
idea.
Wait a minute. You're saying if I take B12? That, I can last all night?
Oh, yeah dude.
With and the secret, the secret to spontaneous male orgasm, 9 volts to the prostate.
Yeah?
Done. That's how they milk bulls. You ever watch them do that? You can either massage the prostate or they stick this rod up, and now they put about 50 volts. Bull's prostate is considerably larger than a human. But if you put just the slightest little zap, like a static electric charge, basically, done. Orgasm.
John, Scott, you've had a rod inserted in your prostate,
haven't
you?
Yeah, but I've found that if I eat a lot of, I believe Professor...
Spit it out! Shit!
I believe Professor Tom has disputed this, but I believe that a lot of protein causes the ability to... what was I saying?
orgasm or not
fuck?
Orgasm?
No, not orgasm. To have a lot of stamina.
Stamina. Well,
fucking.
With the stamina.
And I'm telling you, the pillow under the wife's ass...
That's an excellent one.
You have this way where you angle up into the G-spot while she's doing the big flick and... Instant orgasm.
Seen they make it's essentially like a big foam sort of triangle, so it's like a ramp.
I've seen that, but
that's a good purchase.
I figure you can use
that's like $35-$40. Here's the advantage over a pillow. You get more than one angle.
Right.
So if that particular pillow with your particular woman is working, hey, work it. That's awesome. But if you try what John's talking about and it doesn't work, it may be because that pillow you're using can't get her in the exact right position. You might want to try this little, I think it's called the wedge.
Yeah.
You can look them up online.
I've
$50 for
that.
This big piece of foam. It's not going to wear out. You can clean it. You can take the cover off and wash it, which is important, depending on what you're using for contraception, lubricant, etc.
But I think if you just bend the knees a little bit, you can fire that angle up pretty good. If you just, as a man, bend at the knees. Don't stay firmly with your feet shoulder width apart. If you're going to do that, that's cool, but bend at the knees a little bit and then fire up at an angle.
And don't forget to breathe.
That's right.
It's very important.
Your thighs.
Your thighs should feel like they're on fire.
They're on fire.
Like they're burning.
If you have fire thighs, you're doing it correctly.
With my 22-inch biceps.
Yeah.
Another question here on MSNBC.com.
We're just doing their job for them, aren't we? Just answering these questions.
How does safe sex apply to oral sex? If a woman is performing fellatio on a man, should he be wearing a condom? What about during cunnilingus?
Yes, and dental dam.
Yeah, but do women have like an oral condom?
Yeah, dental dam.
Dental dam?
It's like a big piece of latex. It's a large. It's what they use at the dentist. They clip it to your tooth. It's literally a dental dam to help, and you can go get them. Any lesbian bar will have them. They're also, they have fruit-flavored dental dams, which when I first heard that, I thought, well, isn't that a fruit roll-up? Just a fruit roll-up. Put this on your vagina.
Put this on your vagina while I lick the alphabet.
Yes.
A little bit.
If you're really good, you do it in Chinese.
Do you speak French? A little bit. If 35, I'm 35.
Start over.
Don't
sound
let me
it out.
Read this shit. I'm 35. A
something
woman.
About this studio. You come in the studio, you can't read anymore.
No.
Some energy in the air. Suddenly we're all
there's something about drinking the wine. I'm on my second bottle.
Oh, that's probably it. Never mind. I think we figured it out.
Left. I'm 35. A woman have never had sex.
Boo.
As if I'm not enough of a freak, I'm very overweight. So if I lose weight and finally have the opportunity to have sex, how and when should I approach this bit of news that I am a virgin? What are the odds of finding a man who is going to be okay with this? Actually, I think any man would dig a virgin.
Wait a minute. We just covered this in the quiz. 10 to 25%?
No, 10 to 15%, according to an informal poll. Now, when I read that part, I was like, it's not exactly scientific.
And let's match up, if anybody's listening, let's match up Professor Tom's whistle with Jack Black. It's almost identical, isn't it? It's pretty close.
Click. Yeah.
Oh, man. No doubt.
I didn't know that. What is that? Is that from a Tenacious D album?
Can you whistle again? That's pretty good, man.
Well, I can also do the really loud whistle. But, you know.
Oh, man.
I could do one, too.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take that out in post.
Just whistle off. Man. This is exciting. Whistle along at home. Is that the door?
Yeah, I think so.
Should we let Professor Tom get it?
I'll get it.
All right.
Hold on. All right, I'll sit tight then. It's a long way to the door.
Yeah,
man.
It's pretty long.
It's a huge studio you guys have.
All right, come back, Tom. Come on back. Come on. All right.
Okay, hang on. I'm
bring
exhausted.
Phil with you. Phil here.
Come on, Phil.
Hey, man, sit down. Yeah, we got a different mic set up for you. Just relax, okay? Yeah, we have a guest.
Well, nobody told me. Nobody called me or emailed me or IM'd me and told me we'd be having a guest. I'm a little unprepared. I don't know if I'll be able to deliver the news as professionally as I used to.
Come on, you're professional, Phil.
I'll give it a try.
News. All right, then, whenever you're ready.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
John, a study confirms there's a 10th planet, an object discovered earlier this year and considered by some to be our solar system's 10th planet, is indeed larger than Pluto, a study confirms. Although larger than Pluto, it's still smaller than Uranus, John.
Hey-o.
Click.
Oh, that's funny. Stop. A New York City girl puts up 113 points in high school hoops, tells Kobe to suck it. Kobe invites her to his hotel room. Next story, GOP learns an important lesson when stuffing the ballot box. Don't end up with more votes than there are Republicans.
And that's the truth.
House Republicans are taking a mulligan on the first ballot for the majority leader. The first count showed more votes cast for Republicans present at the conference meeting.
The evil ones.
It's the culture of corruption, John. Next story, congratulations to Brittany and Cletus on impending spawn number 2.
How are you?
Britney Spears stunned shoppers in Malibu, California last week when she clutched her belly and announced she was pregnant with her second child. Shoppers claimed the pop star shoppers was upset by staring fans as she browsed for furniture in a high-end store in shabby chic.
What did she say?
One fellow shopper, Ginny Moss, tells American In Touch magazine, Britney put her hands on her belly, laughed, and said, that's right, number two.
And she did this at a shopping mall?
Gossips in Malibu, where Spears and her family lived, are convinced the toxic singer dreams of giving birth to a baby sister for her son, Cletus Lee Preston, are about to be realized. Massey adds, I've heard from a lot of people in the neighborhood that she's pregnant, and she looks it to me. Meanwhile, one of Spears' closest friends tells In Touch, Britney is definitely pregnant again. She's acting the same way she did when she was pregnant with her first child.
Hello, cutie pie.
Next story, John. Running over a boy while speeding and sending a text message is legal in Kentucky. A Kenton County grand jury's refusal to indict text message teen driver Jeremy Deming for the May 7th accident that killed 2.5-year-old Nemi Jennings. This is a tragic story, John. Has left some questioning if justice was served. Deming admitted at the scene to driving about 10 miles over the speed limit
Deming?
And text messaging on his cell phone before hitting the boy. Yet the covered teen, now 19, seems to have gotten off without even a traffic ticket.
Don't be ridiculous.
He had faced a Class D felony charge of reckless homicide.
Negative.
The case is more proof, Texas. I'm sorry. The case is more proof, Kentucky. Needs
whining.
A lesser vehicular homicide charge, such as Ohio's negligent homicide statute. It also suggests the need for tougher laws against multitasking motorists. Next story,
There's
John.
No rules.
Emmett Smith tells Hall of Fame to suck it if they don't vote in Michael Irvin, who has records on and off the field. Emmett Smith believes his Hall of Fame voters are holding Michael Irvin's personal problems against him.
Is a drag.
And he's incensed by it. Smith, the NFL's leading career leader of rushing.
ladies and gentlemen.
And eligible for the Hall of More Than 4 Years, campaigned vigorously Friday with former Dallas Cowboy teammate. And I'm mentioning this story only because it's Super Bowl Sunday, John. Irvin is in the ballot for the second time. The election results will be announced Saturday.
No.
Smith says the wide receiver didn't get his last year because of Irvin's off-field trouble.
You fucking shit!
Pounding his finger on the table and emphasizing every single word, Smith made his point. This is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, not the Life Hall of Fame.
Put
his stats are what they are.
Ass.
They are not going to change. Next story, John.
You fucking dick.
Suspect in attack on gay bar is caught after being wounded in shootout with police. No word on whether he caught one in the ass. Next story, John.
Did you write that, Phil?
If you have a nice ass, Jamie Foxx would like to take you to the Oscars. Jamie Foxx is desperate for a date to the Oscars, preferably one with a nice butt. The heartthrob actor admits he hasn't found a special woman to take to the star-studded awards bash next month, and he wants one with an ample behind.
Put
he said he hasn't found that someone to accompany him
ass.
Because he's been working, so it's tough. When quizzed about his ideal woman, the actor said, "Don't be ashamed of your little thing. I like the thickness too."
Sounds exactly like Jamie Foxx.
He added, "I like legs,
man.
And I do. I say this dumps." The star explained dumps is like a posterior. The 38-year-old actor who has a 10-year-old daughter, Corinne, has always been a fan of big bottoms, John.
Fuckface.
Next story. Amsterdam can't stop people from stealing no toke signs, so now they're selling them online. All right, this story is brought to you by, what do they speak in Amsterdam, John?
Dutch.
Here we go. Blowing up in round het club and stazen da brashages. It seems February verboten. Dit verboten cash bin zetten is an atalane buschwardeborden geplashten. Die blacken erge plaren in par dagen tischt is hootboard up de kirk. John Everstock in hushte daven all diverse malen uvertumen de den.
What's weird is that also sounds like Jamie Foxx.
Next story. New study from the Institute of Stunningly Obvious finds most men would rather get a new electronic gadget for Valentine's Day than candy or flowers.
Really?
In a related story, most American men said they would like to trade Valentine's Day cards with Angelina Jolie, while women would swap them with Oprah, along with complaints about what a Jolie-loving man whore they are living with. Next story, John. This is our last story tonight. It's a celebrity story. George Clooney does impressions of Groucho Marx with his penis. Comedian Roseanne Barr witnessed the ER hunk's secret talent while they were having dinner. She revealed in Britain's Attitude magazine, "One night we were all drunk. John Goodman took a picture of George naked with Groucho Marx glasses over his private area, and we used to have that on the fridge on Roseanne's show with a magnet on top of it. But someone stole it. I always check to see if it's on eBay. All of us do, but somebody must have just thrown it away because it's never showed up." Heavyweight star Roseanne also admits she developed a crush on the Ocean's 11 star when they worked together on her self-titled sitcom. She revealed, "He's a great person. He is so fun and funny. And I thought he was handsome, but I didn't know what he was going to do. And I knew he was going to be huge. He's always been George to me. More than being gorgeous, he's so funny. It's unbelievable," Barr added. I fucked him more than once.
Oh, what?
I'm trying to be discreet.
And John, that's the news.
Once again, the AKC Total Talk Time. I'd like to thank Phil for coming along. Phil McCracken Whitcomb. For the news, always vetted, always true, it's Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
Now get the fuck out of this place.
All right, then.
Nice to meet you, Phil.
Yeah, you too. Whoever you are. All right.
Bye.
Okay, then. Good night.
Fuck you.
Wow. Phil comes in. He's
much taller than I thought he'd be.
He's
in
all pro, man. Yeah. What were your impressions of Phil?
Good looking guy. Surprising. Yeah.
He's handsome.
Smells a little funny though.
Yeah. What are you gonna?
But,
do?
But you know, he's a nice guy. He's taller. You know,
like, seems like a nice guy. I think he's like 6'5".
He doesn't sound that tall on the radio.
No. He's a big guy.
I have a small iPod. So maybe that's something to do with it.
Here, right.
I need a bigger iPod.
You ever see that movie Elf?
Elf?
Yeah. You. Yeah. With
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. And that scene where the actual midget shows up.
Oh, yeah. Say it one more time, buddy.
Right.
That guy's awesome. Have you seen his movie he was in called Station Agent?
No.
Oh, my God. He's a brilliant actor.
So you got a big cock?
I would think he
might have one.
This was one. It was a very heartfelt indie film, drama piece, character driven. And he was the bulk of the movie. Was him. He was the star.
God damn.
Yeah, he was amazing. It's called Station Agent. Check
we
it out.
We didn't even talk about movies tonight, John.
We didn't.
We may have to do a bonus segment. And I'll just put it in my feed.
Damn it. We didn't. That's true. What movies did we see?
I saw Broken Flowers, the Jim Jarmusch film with Bill Murray.
Oh, man.
How was that?
It was very slow, but it was good.
So was the last Bill Murray movie.
I know. What was that one?
The underwater one?
Oh,
that's right. Wes Anderson.
Say so.
That was good, but it was slow as hell.
Did you see the one before that?
Lost in Translation?
Yeah.
Sophia Coppola?
That's slow, too, but that was...
You know, that was also really good, but man, yeah, it was real. Sophia Coppola... If you've seen her other stuff,
yeah,
she's a slower pace. That's just kind of her thing. Kind of European.
She's pretty hot, but
I saw
Bill Murray.
He's thinking of Scarlett Johansson. He's so stupid.
Yeah, that's the star. The one whose ass is on the screen for the first 10 seconds of the movie.
That's right.
That's Scarlett Johansson. Sophia Coppola is the one that fucked up Godfather 3.
Right.
By delivering all her dialogue like this. Yeah, jackass.
Right.
I saw Lord of War with Nick Cage.
I have
that's
that.
Right.
I've rented it.
It's not bad.
Seen it.
I give it. What is the rating system?
Spiny Normans.
Now, why is that? I've never heard the podcast where you explain Spiny Normans.
Go ahead, John.
Spiny Normans is okay. It was a band name called Spiny Norman years ago. I called the sack that holds your nuts the wrinkle bag. Phil, our old bass player in A Kangaroo Court, touched on that with
on your bag.
Not touched my bag.
Oh, okay,
not literally.
But, oh, okay, touched near your bag.
He said, "Hey, man,
metaphorically,
that's
touched
pretty
your
funny."
Bag.
There's an actual band name called Spiny Norman. So for some reason, we adopted Spiny Norman as
the rating system.
The rating
system. Okay, here's
a
follow-up.
But it's kind of a cross to the Hustler, the cock in Hustler that used to have for porno. It used to be like the flaccid penis to the half-mast penis to the fully erect penis.
Now, how many Spiny Normans would be the maximum?
The maximum is five.
Spiny Normans.
I give Lord of War, I would say, 3.5 Spiny Normans.
Damn, that's a good rating for a movie.
Yeah, I think it's well acted. I think it's well put together.
I'll have to see that.
A few little elements that are missing. I think Nick Cage was miscast in this one.
Yeah.
But that's he did a fine job. I would have gone with someone else.
All right,
3.5 would be.
Oh, I'll tell you when I'll give 4.
Definitely
see
for me
is Enron, smartest guys in the room.
I will have to see that.
That was an excellent book, incredible book, and a really good documentary. And it made what is you think going to be a story about numbers and accounting practices. It's a story about humans and human fallacy. And so they made that really come across really well. Plus, the reporter who co-wrote the book is smoking hot.
Nice.
Belinda or Melinda, and she's in a lot of the movies, sitting on a couch, kind of talking head thing. But my wife and I were sitting there watching the movie halfway through, and I go, is she hot? My wife's like, oh, yeah. She is smoking and really smart. I mean, she writes for, like,
and then you guys
JP
went into
Power
the,
magazines or whatever.
Did you go into the... right after that?
Well, there's a reason they call me Professor. It's because I'm fucking Marianne. That's why. That's why they call me Professor, because I'm shagging Marianne.
From the USS Minnow?
From the USS. It was a 3-hour tour, my friend.
That's
a 3-hour
nice.
Tour.
All right.
And when I'm done with her, I slap her on the ass and say, send in Ginger. She's my closer.
It's out of sight.
My wife looks nothing like Marianne. She's going to be so offended.
Doesn't matter. It's
she
your
has
fantasy.
A sense of humor,
total
thank God.
Talk nonsense.
And she doesn't listen to podcasts.
There you go.
Awesome.
I knew how to quit you. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Have you seen the Back to the Future mashup of that?
No.
Broke Back to the Future? I'll send you the link. If you go to YouTube.com and share, somebody remixed the trailer of Back to the Future so it looks like a gay movie.
That's out of sight.
It's Broke Back to the Future.
With Michael J. Fox?
And Christopher Lloyd.
That's awesome.
Hey, boss. I love him. I don't know.
The flux capacitor.
Who decided that Ignatowski would be a professor? Like, oh yeah, he looks like he knows what he's doing in that jean jacket.
Spielberg, that's who.
Spielberg.
Genius.
Spielberg.
And what's Michael J. Fox's real name?
Oh, he has a real name?
I don't know.
I thought it was Michael J. Fox.
Marty McFly.
Oh, okay. That's his pretend name. That's not his real name. He just works under the name Michael J. Fox.
I love Crispy Gloves as his
Crispin
dad.
Crispin Glover. Oh. Crispin Glover does the weirdest movies. No
he does doubt. The greatest River's Edge movie. Have you seen The River's Edge?
Oh, no doubt.
Is that the one where he's... Go ahead.
With the dead body.
Well, I'm a big fan of...
Did you see him when he was on tour, touring bars,
David
showing
Lynch.
His movie?
No, I
Oh, my not. God. That man, he shows this incredibly weird movie and then does Q&A afterwards, and the Q&A is even weirder.
Yeah.
Like, you ask him, like, there's all these, like, jackass emo kid wannabe director guys there, and they're like, so when you're using the female character as the protagonist, do you feel that she's really exacerbating the hero's plot? And he goes, I like chips, so I put them in the movie. Like, just, like he's, like the W made a film. It takes a lot of courage to make a movie. He was even weirder. I don't know if he's playing a character or, you know, being like, because John Waters plays a little bit of that kind of, you know, goofy, cantankerous. I had no idea. I walked out halfway through. I mean, it was an okay for an experimental indie film, but the Q&A was just surreal. They should film that. French fries are good. Like, what are you, retarded?
Well, he must have couldn't have passed security then.
Get your hands
off. And I saw
an
airplane hit the tower. I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot.
That's, man, what sensitivity our leader shows.
Yeah.
I said to myself, man, that boy fucked up. Hey, he's going to be in trouble.
Well, that quote was a year after it
happened. That means not tell the truth.
I love that quote.
Well, that what cracks me up is that he was spying with the NSA stuff before 9/11. And then he
Have you heard the quote that Al Franken's been playing?
Well, he throws in at the State of the Union address that they were on the phone, on their cell phones. Oh. And if we had had that ability before 9/11, we would have caught him.
Because how can you possibly catch him when the memo says bin Laden determined to attack in the U.S.?
Right.
And bin Laden and terrorists determined to use planes this time. How can you possibly connect those dots? Right.
The big oops.
That's insane. No one could figure it out from those clues. Blue's clues are more difficult than that. Hey, what? Our president.
You need the flip book with Dave.
You're like, okay, look, no, George. Steve. Get out your notebook and pen and write this down.
No, crayon. George needs a crayon.
Yeah, sir, Blue's clues are more difficult.
Disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking about, I thought about this, honestly, starting a website called movemetocanada.com, and you could donate to get me the hell out of here. So it's good for liberals because they could make a statement about the administration by sending a person to Canada. But it's also good for these rednecks who are like, if you don't like it, get out. Well, hey, you know what, jackass? Send me $2 via PayPal and I will.
Get
How about
the fuck
that?
Out.
Movemetocanada.com.
God damn it, John. This guy's got more ideas in his pinky than we have combined.
Right.
I get more jackass ideas by 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Well, unfortunately, we got to go, Scott and Tom.
We got to play music and annoy Gordon.
When do we get to come into Professor Tom's show and sit
there? As soon as I can set it up, we are going to probably record Tuesday. Because
we can bring our own mic.
Debacle and such. We'll have to figure it out. We'll have to, I don't know.
We can bring our own mics, headphone, and headphone amp. It's very small. It's about the size of that right there, 4x3.
4x3 for those of you listening at home, which is everyone but us.
Bring my own headphone amp.
Well,
we bring our own headphones, headphone amp, and mics.
You know, we'll give it a shot.
All right.
What the hell?
Sounds good. Sweet. All right. Well,
this was a blast, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming, Professor Tom from KinkySexRadio.com.
Dot com.
KinkySexRadio.com. You got to check it out. We're going to put a link on our website. Is that correct, Scott?
That is correct.
We'll even put your avatar, is that correct?
Avatar logo,
because we dig the show and we're finally a guest worthwhile the other guests we've had.
Have you hey heard don't denigrate our other
I'm
guests
sorry
we'll but, never get
you
another
know, but
guest
the other
again.
Guests weren't podcasters, right?
That's
they were
right.
Just they were just Joes off the street. They were right. Every man the they were listeners.
Although I gotta say, our TTN number one fan was great at mixing drinks, and she has great breasts.
Oh, there you go.
That's one thing I'm lacking.
There's a
Rika.
Plug.
Rika has nice breasts. I wish she would show them, but she is very conservative about that. She's worried about that whatever, who might see them. But
whatever. Speaking
okay.
of plugs, do you have anything you want to plug, Professor Tom, before we sign off?
No, absolutely no. Guys...
Next show? What's your next show? What's the topic? You
next
already got
show,
the topic?
Yeah, I did it yesterday. I'm trying to remember. I can't. I can't get it off the top of my head.
All right. Well,
look
no,
out.
Sorry.
I'm
thinking
that
I got
show.
Nothing. It's all done. All the show prep's done, but I got so many weeks ahead that I can't remember what next week is. That's the problem, is I'm like 4 weeks ahead.
Well, thanks for coming, Professor Tom.
I can tell you a month from now we're talking about blood play. I got no idea what we're doing day after tomorrow.
All right. Bloodletting with Professor Tom and Dominion on KinkySexRadio.com. So check it out. And check out AKC Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here with Professor Tom. Later.
Say goodnight, Professor Tom.
Good night, Professor Tom.
You're listening to John and Scott.
And Professor Tom.
Total Talk Nonsense.